Hello, everyone. This is Ordinary Christians. I'm Ron Sitlow, and today I'm here with Bob Bauer and Derek Bukema.
Hey.
Hello.
So we're talking about the new year, and every year we make, you know, vows, and we're going to change our diet, our health, our relationships, our financial situation. And January 1st and 2nd, we're all doing real well. And then by about January 6th, we've all fallen off the wagon. So we wanted to take this time and just talk about what to think about January 1st and maybe how to make it a more productive time and have a little bit of fun with it.
So, Bob, I want to start with this question. Do you stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve?
Sometimes I don't like late. I get tired about 9:30.
Derek?
I don't think I've stayed up to midnight until midnight since I had children. So I don't think I've made it that.
Do you know?
I set a record last year with Lori
Clark.
Go ahead. Yeah, Dick
Clark. The last time he was on the air after he'd had his stroke, that was the last time. It made me sad. I was so sad when I went to bed. It was like, oh, well, that's sad. So I went to bed, and I don't think I've done it since.
So I'll tell you what. My wife and I set the all-time record, personal record for us last year. We happened to be gone on vacation, and we went to bed at 9 o'clock
on New Year's Eve.
And it felt awesome. And I woke up the next day, and it was the new year. It was awesome. The other thing I'll say opening round, then I can shut up. But so here's a line that I want. You guys know that I like to play with words. So this is my little line. I am not going to watch the ball drop in New York City this year for 2021 because 2020 already dropped the ball.
Oh,
this is great.
Unbelievable. Should be a book.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Bauer.
So, Derek, Do you do anything for New Year's? You know, kind of
like a New Year's resolution.
Sometimes
there's so many thoughts that I have about New Year's. I'm just going to bless all of our listeners with these right here.
I'm writing down.
And one is, so I, you know, I got married, I think, later than either of these other brothers here on the podcast. So
slightly.
How old were you guys when you got married?
22.
25.
Yeah, 31. So I had way more years of singleness, and for some reason there was always this pressure of like a New Year's kiss. I just want to say to all of the singles that are listening right now, don't worry about that. And exactly. New Year's kiss kind of sucks anyway because you're very tired, and it's just way better to pursue kissing in the light with somebody that you're committed to, and don't heap the pressure of a New Year's kiss on yourself. It's not a big deal. Just
though, if you're married, New Year's sex is completely legitimate and great. And
did wonderful. You just say that?
I did, and I just wondered what that's going to do. But maybe I can say something more wonderful later.
I just preached a sermon on sex, and and so I think that anyone that has watched the sermon on sex would totally appreciate what you just said.
Thank you, Derek.
And would affirm it entirely.
Are you blushing, though?
I have 15 puns, but I can't say any of them right now.
That's good. Okay, what else, Derek? What else do you think about New Year's?
I'll say this. As it relates to New Year's resolutions, I was talking to a woman from a local fitness club around here, Planet Fitness, just, you know, right near where you and I minister here, Ron. And I was just talking to her about it. I was like, what's things like in the new year? She's like, man, it is crazy here from about January 1 to about January 6th. She's like, it is just packed. You can't get on machines. And like this is filled up with people. And if we did business like we do January 1 to January 6th, like it'd be terrible. And then like January 7 or 8 comes around and it goes back to normal. And we have very few people here at any given time. And so that was so insightful because it's like, yeah, New Year's resolutions tend to last about 6 days for people. And one of the things that I'll say about this, I think a New Year is a good time to make a resolution. I think, though, that making one that is actually sustainable is something that's really helpful for ordinary Christians. Feel free to make a New Year's resolution, but make one that's sustainable because so many people go into the New Year and they're like, this year, I'm going to work out. hour of cardio, hour of weights every day. And right. then they do that January 1 through 5 and realize it's totally untenable. It's completely untenable to do that. So set a, like make a resolution that's something that you can actually commit to that takes a reasonable amount of time and something that you'll actually keep doing and make it accessible. Another example of that is I had a friend that I was mentoring when I was in seminary, and he, you know, we went to New Year's and I went, I was in his house and on one of his mirrors, he'd written New Year's resolution, change the world. And, and that is impossible to do. I don't know what that even means. So
yeah, I have the solution, Derek. Yeah. No, I have the solution. This is my new method. Have low expectations in the new year. So like set them real low, like exercise 3 times during 2021. Then you win. Every time you blow them, you know, say, I'm going to
blow them out of the water.
Exactly. I'm going to maintain my weight. You know, those have really low expectations. No, I'm just kidding. But I think, Derek, you're right. I do personally, the only resolutions I have are I have a minimum exercise 3 days a week. That's an expectation I've had for 20, 30 years. So I look at my week and I go like, if I can get 5 days in, awesome. The second thing, I mean, but in my bottom line is I exercise 3 days a week. And that's a doable resolution, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's, but I think, Derek, you're right. Setting too high, like I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I mean, that's a great thing if you do, but I think we'd better off setting expectations that are consistent and doable. And the last thing I'd say opening would be, you know, the changing the calendar is like any other day. And it's right from the scriptures. This is the day the Lord has made.
Yeah.
Let's rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to enter 2021.
You know, I think one thing that resolutions show us and our inability to keep them is how complicated we are. Because we are people that do want to, you know, be more disciplined or lose weight or be healthier or more spiritual. But then in the same breath, we really don't want to. And I think it's an opportunity for grace. I think you set your resolutions and when and if you fail, to know that God knew and knows that we're like dust and that he doesn't stop adoring us or loving us because of our we're good. So frail. That's what I know about me. And I learn it about every January 12th, my frailty. I would not be a good Methodist who loved vows and commitments.
Yeah, that's good.
Or did at one time.
Right.
I think that, Ron, you make an incredibly important point, and I just want to agree with that and mention, I think it was Van Til, actually, a Reformed theologian of the last 100 years, who talked about our need for grace and about how people will deny that they need grace because they're good enough. And what he noted is, he's like, you don't live up to your own standards. You don't live up to your own standards of what it is that you're going to do and who it is that you're going to be. And New Year's resolutions are a great illustration of that, right? The fact that people tend to keep them from January 1 to January 6, according to this, you know, these workout resolutions, is an important thing for us to remember. We don't even live up to our own standards, much less God's standards, which is a reminder of how much we need the cross and the resurrection, how much we need Jesus, how much we need his perfection.
Amen. So 2021, a couple weeks away, 2020 was quite a year. Riots and elections and pandemics and financial crashes. So we want to hear your 2021 predictions. What do you think 2021 is going to be about? What do you think it's going to be a better year, worse year, same?
Well, it's going to be a year where it's way easier for Bill Gates to track us with all the stuff he's putting in the vaccine.
Buy the Microsoft stock.
I would say that my predictions are May or June, the vaccine and herd immunity will take place and we'll begin to start to see the declaring that the pandemic is under control. I think people get back to normal in May or June. I think the economy is going to be really strong for another couple years. At some point, inflation is going to go skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be a slowdown of the housing boom. I think there'll be a correction in about, but I think next year is going to be a good year financially for our country, at least. That's my prediction.
I agree with all those things. I think that one of the areas of that is troubling or troubled are our divisions that are so obvious right now that the election brought to the surface, and I don't think they're going away. And, you know, depending upon the president-elect and the agenda he chooses, whether it's more moderate or, you know, more to his left, will decide the kind of turmoil we have. Mm. And I do think, you know, violence is an option for some. And I think we have to be people of peace, and I hope that we are. But I do think it's going to, you know, next summer is going to be a great summer. It's going to be the best summer in 50 years.
I don't have any predictions.
How about sports? Do you have any predictions? Derek, you're a sport. Well, all three of us, you know, well, Ron, you don't really necessarily go nuts over sports. But baseball, I know you do. So let's predict a little sports. Come on, Derek.
The Bears are going to continue to be terrible until they fire everybody.
Fire everybody and shut down for 5 years.
Yeah.
I think the Bulls are going to be above 500.
After this year, I can't make any predictions. All of my predictions were so wrong about 2020. I didn't predict global pandemic.
Yeah.
You didn't. You're so dumb.
I know.
I think the White Sox are on the upswing.
Ooh, good point.
Cubs, I don't know, man. They just are so, I don't know what they're doing.
I think that one prediction I have is within this next year and years upcoming, I think that conflict within ecclesial bodies is going to continue to become more and more extreme. I mean, the nation is secularizing, the fastest growing religion is being religiously unaffiliated. And I think that that's impacting the church to a much greater extent than we realize. And I think that there's going to be a fracturing that starts happening in denominations. I think that you can see it demonstrating itself in the Southern Baptist Convention as you have the temperature of disagreements and fights increasing. That temperature keeps going up. I think in the PCA, you have the same sort of thing that's developing as you know, in a whole host of different ways. And then the denominations of which we're a part, the RCA and the CRC, I think that you're going to start seeing kind of a rending of those denominations as conflicts about some pretty important and fundamental theological issues become more and more intense.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think that the pandemic quickened a decline in the United States around Christianity that will be much more evident in the year to come. And I think it's going to really, for the church to thrive in this next season, and she will thrive, it will be around relationships, community, and discipleship. Mm-hmm. And the time in which the idea that you could bring them in through something snazzy and entertaining, those days are becoming less and less possible. Yeah. And because we can be entertained on Netflix, but I can't find life there. Yeah. And we have life eternal, and that's going to be the next season, I think.
I want to tag off that one. It's not a prediction, but I have a hunch that the COVID online community and the dismantling of in-person maxed out auditoriums of churches. Mm-hmm. I think this is, let me see if I explain it, see if you guys agree. A lot of lukewarm Christians won't be coming back, but I believe new believers are going to be coming.
Hmm.
See, the pandemic gave an excuse to lukewarm Christians to have a cultural Christianity. Hey, turn on the TV, walk in and out, get your coffee, kids run around, really not really engaged with the Lord, but they've been lukewarm attenders anyway.
And the Bible it gives them an excuse. I mean, once things do return to a normal, it gives people an excuse to be like, you know what, we're still just engaging through the live stream.
That's why I think there'll be an increase of evidence of a lukewarm Christian, but I think there's a influx of people that were looking for the Lord online, because that's what we've experienced, at least in faith. We have a large contingent of people who found us on the internet all over the world, Netherlands to New Mexico to England, who are contacting us, and they were searching for something in this pandemic. And they found the Lord. And I had a family like 2 weeks ago on a Sunday. This woman came up to me. She goes, this is our first time here. And I said, oh, welcome. And she said, we've been looking and watching the service since the pandemic started because we weren't going to church. Mm. So there, like, the influx will be these new fired up, God has saved me, mm-hmm. and the lukewarm ones mm-hmm. are out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's, what do you guys think?
I think that that makes a lot of sense. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, maybe so. Well, not the lukewarm's out, but the new one's in.
I think that over the course of the last generation, we have seen lukewarm folks leaving the church and not feeling the need to identify as Christian anymore or be a part, an active part in church life. And I do think this pandemic will accelerate that. Yeah. And I pray that it's the case that there is a drawing in of people who have not been engaged in the life of the church.
And it will be. The gates of hell will not prevail.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that the COVID has also assured us of who is genuine followers of God, whether they're online or in person. There is truth and evidence and fruit. And
amen.
I mean, I praise God for the technology that he's given us, because there are lonely widows and widowers and people that are compromised health that are just love Jesus, that have been able to worship mm-hmm. and feel connected to a body. And that's the Lord. And I think that that'll continue. I don't think that I predict that the online church will not be going away.
Yep, I agree.
That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And there's a gift there. It's not, you know, you can't do church there as a life, but it does allow you, you know, for people who can't be there every week, but who are committed and connected, to be a part of the community every week, to hear the word and to engage it, and then to not lose track of what's going on. Yeah. And that's a gift.
It is.
Okay, guys, I want each of you to give a word of encouragement for 2021. Your hope, what you desire, or what you hope to see. And we'll end that way. So, Bob, why don't you go first?
Okay. My challenge would be to all the listening audience in 2021, find a healthier balance between how much time is spent in front of a screen versus worshiping and spending time with our Savior and in God's community, his church. Because that's something that the screens have preoccupied 2020. Mm-hmm. I would love to challenge all of us to less screen in 2021.
What about you, Derek?
My word of exhortation is make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit. It's an evidence of the Holy Spirit's activity when we see unity. This is a time of, in my life, I don't feel like there's been a more politically divided, culturally divided time in which we're living. And so in the midst of all of that, I would like to encourage Christians to do the hard work of pursuing unity. Now, that does not mean demanding that everybody sees it your way or follows your kind of ideology. The way that we do that is to genuinely and in deep humility pursue the ways of God together, and in wisdom discern what are really first level issues about which we cannot compromise, and say, hey, this is what God has said, and so I need to be devoted to it regardless of what any human being says. And what are issues of our own preference, and where there are our own preferences, we need to be willing to lay those down for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And so my word of exhortation as we enter into this new year is pursue unity, because this is a profoundly Christian thing to do. And so make every effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit.
Amen to that. My word is, my prayer for myself, for my family, for my brothers, for my church, for everyone listening, is that you would see Jesus in a new way, that you would know his grace and his mercy, that we would fall in love with our first love again, that we would know that he's pursuing us, that he hasn't forgotten us, and that every morning when the sun rises, so does his new mercies for us. Amen. And he really desires to be in communion with us, to love on us, to cause us to flourish in our lives. And I pray that all of us would experience that, and not just going back to some kind of routine that excludes him, even if it's religious and good. And that's my prayer, that Jesus would be, we'd make much of him in the year to come.
Amen.
Amen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's, guys. Great being with you. And
love you guys.
Talk to you soon.
Love you guys. Happy New Year, everyone.
Bye, everybody.